standing, shouldn't I? And then you can be as uncomfortable as I am. When we were... When praise and worship was going on and they were talking about how much God loves us, I just thought about my six children. I've been blessed with six children who I love so much, it hurts. And they are so amazing. And they are the best thing that I have ever done. And I just felt God say, me too. I love you so much, it hurt. You are the most amazing thing I have ever done. And that's how much God loves each and every one of us. Not that that's what I was going to talk about at all. Do you mind if we pray? Because I'm unbelievably nervous. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that it doesn't matter how nervous I am, that it's not about me, it's about you. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would fill my mouth, and that you would unstop everybody's ears, that we would hear from you. Amen. My care group and my Promise Keepers group, which unfortunately, Bob, I disagree with you, is actually the best Promise Keepers group in the world. Both, that wasn't a very loud amen, Kitty. are all praying their socks off that God will come in his Holy Spirit. And this is what I'm really praying, because if God doesn't come in his Holy Spirit, we might as well all go home. But if he does come in his Holy Spirit, I could stand here and read out my shopping list and you would be blessed. So it's not long, my shopping list, so let's just hope he turns up. I got the phone call from Paul C., wherever he's gone, this week. And my first response was, ha ha, very funny. And he said, no, Lorna, we're being serious. And I thought, oh no, I'll be excommunicated for scoffing at an elder now. So I said, so I asked him, I said, could I think about it and I'll get back to you? And the reason I needed to think about it was I needed to come up with a really good excuse for not doing it. So my first one was, I'm going to be busy this week. I'm bound to be busy this week. I thought, it's not really spiritual enough. And then I thought, well, what are my views on women preaching in church? You know, I might have to wear a hat. Oh, okay, but we will go with women preaching in church. So I thought, I'll seek the Lord. So I phoned up and texted various people, said, I have a decision to make. I can't tell you what the decision is. I just need to know yes or no. So sat back and waited. And the first person to come back to me was my 11-year-old daughter, Mary, who said, Mum, I have this funny feeling that the answer is yes. And I thought, oh, she's only 11. What does she know? I'll eat my words. Next one was my mum got back to me. Now, my mum is from so far north that blunt doesn't begin to cover her very good advice to me. And she said to me, in that loving way that only my mum can use, what are you worried about? Are you frightened that God's going to take you out your comfort zone or something? Oh, ouch. So at that point, I thought, I'm going to have to do it. You see, I'm ashamed to say that I have been big-headed enough when it's been mentioned at the front that we have to get out of our comfort zone, that I've sat there with a pious little look on my face and nodded and thought, I hope everybody else is listening to this because I've come out of my comfort zone. But you see, the place that's out of my comfort zone has become comfortable. It's become normal. When you're comfortable, you get by on your own. Your communication with God really sort of starts to drop off, becomes sporadic. And it's only when there's a crisis that I start praying the really eloquent prayers along the lines of, help! And I'd got to that point that, you know, God and I were on crisis talking terms. I did read my Bible, I did pray, but I was comfortable, so I was getting on fine. So God in heaven looked down and went, so you've learnt this lesson, have you, Lorna? And the word of the Lord came to Paul C. Phone Lorna up. So this week, I have been definitely out of my comfort zone. I have been on my knees praying in a way I haven't prayed for an extremely long time. I am reading my Bible. At one point, I thought I'd lost my Bible. You've never seen anyone so frantic. And I'm suffering from extreme lack of sleep. Why is it that God picks 11 o'clock at night to start talking to you? Is that because that's the only time I shut up long enough for him to get a word in? So last night it was 12:30 and I was lying there and God was talking to me, which was very nice, but I was tired. I'm hoping that this week will have been long enough for me that it's become habit forming, that I won't go back to being on nodding terms with God, that I will remember what it's like to be out of my comfort zone, that I will pray and I will read my Bible like I have been this week. So I have a new definition for being out of my comfort zone. It's where there's no contingency plan. if God doesn't turn up, I'm stuffed. And that's what I was. I said, yes, I'd do it. And then I thought, well, what do I talk about? I'm a mum at home. I could tell them my household tips. It would be a brief sermon. I really didn't know what to do. And I thought, God, if you don't turn up, I'm stuffed. And when you have crises, we've had a couple of crises this week, and if God didn't turn up, we were stuffed. One of them was Shade, her passport. We got a phone call on Tuesday to say, passport controller said no, she can't have a passport. And we go on holiday tomorrow morning. And we prayed. I was walking around the house shouting, God, help, turn up, we need you. And Shade's passport arrived on Wednesday. And I was able to say to her social worker, I have to be very careful mentioning God to social workers because it frightens them. And I said to her, I have so many, sorry, apologies. Two elders down, three to go. But I said to her, I have so many people praying that this passport will arrive. And she said, tell them to keep praying. So when she arrived, I said, hallelujah. And I thought, well, that's okay. So when God doesn't turn up, that's a crisis. That's my new one. There is no contingency plan. I can't rely on myself. I've got to rely on God, which is much healthier. In our house, we've had three people doing SATs over recent weeks. And I gave them the little pep talk before they went in. And it was, I will still love you. You get level 10, I can't love you more. You get level 1, I won't love you less. I just want you to do your best. But I can't allow you to stay in your comfort zone of your bed. You have to get out and do it. So all of this is a bit scary. Ephesians 6 says, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. 2 Corinthians 12 says, my power shows up best in weak people. So you have to admit you're weak so that God can come in power. So often, I can do things on my own. I'm a capable person. That God doesn't need to turn up. God's had to turn up this week. I couldn't find it in the Bible. I tried the online concordance and it was not helpful. There's the bit in the Bible where it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Greek verb they use is the be being filled. So it's a continuous. I decided to call it the present continuous verb. I don't know if that's a real verb, but it is now. And that's a sense of what it is, that you have to keep being filled with his Holy Spirit, keep being filled with his power so that you can do what God wants you to do. All over the New Testament, it talks about our walk with God being like running a race, run the race set before you. But why running? Why not a meal? Why didn't Paul talk about your walk with God being a meal? You know, I've gone through starter, I'm struggling through the steak, but I will make it to the coffee and mint at the end. I think he'd have had more takers than going about a running race. But you see, Paul, lots of theologians reckon, was short, with really bad eyesight. And I think we can safely assume that when he went to synagogue school, PE was one of his least favourite subjects. And I can totally, totally understand this. I was not always as tall as I am now. I was particularly short when I was at junior school. I was the diddy one. And my mum has a photo of me coming in last in a running race, which you will never show anybody, she assures me. So I understand running races is uncomfortable and it's not nice. And that's what sometimes our walk with God can be like. It can be uncomfortable and unpleasant. Jaff and Peachy, where are you? Out there somewhere? They ran in a marathon. I'm just astounded at anybody that would run in a marathon. I'm astounded at anybody that would run a mile, but I mean, a marathon just blows my mind. Now, I can imagine, having run to the bus, that running 26 and a bit miles, you do at some point come out of your comfort zone, even if you enjoy running, that it's not a pleasure all the way through. I've seen them as they come across the finishing line on the TV, and they don't look as though they're really enjoying themselves. I could be wrong. 1 Corinthians 9 says, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best, training my body to do what it should do, not what it wants to do. And I'm sure as Jeff and Peachy were running, there were points when their body was screaming at them, stop. But they didn't give in. They had trained their body and it was mind over matter. I had the joy and delight of going to a Castle School fun run today. Castle School is a special school that Elijah and Gideon go to. Now, I find school sports days hard for all the reasons I've already mentioned. It brings back horrible memories and I can't stand the parents' race. But if you want to go to a special school, there it takes on a whole new meaning. If you ever go to one, take a tissue with you, definitely take a box of tissues with you. You have the able-bodied children that ran their five laps. And for them, it was the running and the finishing, and they came in sweating and they were proud of it. You had the people like Elijah that had been told it was five laps. So he ran five laps because that was the rule. Then you had India, who's blind and five, and she was led around the whole thing, and she was so proud, and everyone was so proud of her. There was another little girl who got out of her wheelchair, had an adult on either side, and made it halfway round before she had to get back in her chair. And she got as big a clap as everybody else. You see, I could only find one other point in the Bible where it talked about there being other competitors. It talks about there being other runners, but it's not a competition. It talks about warning the freeloaders to get a move on. I think that'd be me sometimes. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted. When you finish the marathon, you get a silver blanket and you get a medal. Regardless of if you finish in 2 hours, whatever it is, or 2 days, whatever it is. Apparently, if you're too late, they start to post them to you. But everybody gets a medal. See, the important thing is the finishing, not what your position is. We're always told when we were teachers to tell the children it's the taking part that matters. And that's what it is. So it's a case of being filled with the Holy Spirit and being moved out of your comfort zone. My whole life, my whole Christian life needs to be in the continuous present tense. 1 Thessalonians 1 in the Lorna Wells Revised Message version says, "It's clear to us, Lorna, that God not only loves you, but also has put his hand on you for something special." So don't compare yourself. We never compare children. I remember going to toddler group when my children were small, and Becky's going to have this with Harriet soon enough, that there's always the well-meaning person that comes up and says, "Oh, well, my Gideon was potty trained, talking and walking by the time they were 4 weeks old. What's Harriet up to?" We shouldn't compare ourselves with each other. God doesn't compare us. We don't compare our own children. And we shouldn't compare comfort zones. "Oh, I couldn't do that." If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago if I couldn't preach, I'd have said, "Oh, I couldn't do that." And you shouldn't look at someone and say, "But their comfort zone's too easy." I look at Paul or I look at Martin when they're preaching and they make it look so easy. It's easier for them than it is for me. Or is it? See, God's put his hand on me for something special. And he's put his hand on you for something special. But my gifts are different to your gifts. Frank's gifting is playing the piano. You wouldn't want me playing the piano when we were doing praise and worship. Catherine has a real gift for handling sensitive news. I'd blurt it out. It's not my gifting. Kitty has a gift for curry making. So all has a place in the kingdom of God. So your gifts are different to my gifts. But you see, my something special is probably different to your something special. These people may not want to come home and take 6 children on holiday. In Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, "If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done." And my first excuse was, "Oh, but I'll be too busy this week." And we did have 2 crises. And if I'd known that, would I have said yes? So where's your focus? Is it beyond where your next footstep will land? Is your focus on the fact that Christmas is 7 months away today? Yes! I love Christmas. Is it your focus where you're going on your next holiday? If you're a marathon runner, and as we've already established, I am an expert on such things, it's a mix of foci. There you go. It's a mix of them, whatever. You're focusing on where your next foot will land. You're focusing on where the next drink station is, but ultimately you are focusing on the medal at the finishing line. If you start focusing on the 3-mile mark or the 20-mile mark, you're not going to make it. You have to focus on the end. Eugene Peterson, who writes the who wrote the message, certainly he wrote the message or he devised the message, because it's God's word, isn't it? Oh, whatever. Eugene Peterson. He said, if the future is dominated by the coming again of Christ, there is little room left on the screen for projecting your anxieties. So if I focus on God and his plans, everything else will get prioritised by him and put in its proper place. We have a friend, Nikki, who used to come here years and years ago, who goes and works in Burundi, which is right next door to Rwanda, and they have civil war going on. And you know, she talks about having to leave the house and shelter in the trees because the shells are coming over. And she encourages us to take our children there on holiday. And I said, oh, no, no. And she says, Lorna, do you have any unfulfilled prophecies in your life? Yeah. And she'll say, well, then you'll be safe then. If your focus is on God and that God is ultimately in control, then what are you worried about? My lovely husband Martin has many gifts, but one of them is not counselling. He likes to say, what's the worst thing that can ever happen to you? When you're really nervous before an exam or something, what's the worst thing that can ever happen to you? So you have to play the little game. The worst thing that can ever happen to you, Lorna, is dying, and you're not afraid of dying, so what are you worrying about? I have those awful nightmares. Do you remember those ones when you're at school and you realise you've arrived at school and you forgot to put your school uniform on? No, I'm the only one that has those dreams. Well, I'm supposed to nod and say yes. David actually danced in his undies in real life. King David danced in his underwear. King David was willing to look a fool for God, but am I willing? Am I more worried about what people will say than getting out of my comfort zone and maybe looking a fool for him? So in conclusion, first thing, keep being filled with his Holy Spirit so that he can keep moving you out of your comfort zone. Keep your eyes on him. Don't worry about the potholes further down the road. Keep your eyes focused on him. Third thing, he won't give you more than the two of you can cope with together. We have had issues. Sometimes I've told you some of them. We've had issues this week where I just thought, I can't do this. But we've come through it. God and I have coped together. So, what would I do if I could move the clocks back to last week and the phone rang? I remember Hannah saying that she's got call recognition on her phone. We must get call recognition. If I could look back and it says, Paul C. is phoning you, what would I do? Would I pick up the phone or would I put my head back under the duvet and pretend it would just go away? I wouldn't have missed this week for the world. It's been incredibly hard. It's been a roller coaster. I've been so out of my comfort zone, but I wouldn't have missed it for anything. So yes, I'd have picked up the phone and I'd have probably said, yes, you're joking.
Lorna, thank you. So next time one of us phone you, we would like, praise the Lord, it is so good to hear from you. Okay? That would be really nice. Well, thank you. Let's stand, shall we? I'm rather nervous that Lorna's going to establish some kind of precedent here. And that is finishing before 12 o'clock. Don't clap. Whoever that was clapped, you're out of membership. Actually, I love this song, it's great. But it contains within it a biblical truth that's taken from the book of Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Don't shortcut it. You need an intimate relationship with the Trinity if you're going to be a survivor. You need it. You can arrange society to cope in a non-risk situation. And you could hide. I hate to tell you this, but you cannot hide yourself from is some crisis in the future. You are going to have a close relative die at some point. You are going to be in some crisis situation. That is not the time to be sorting out your relationship with God. It's better to be prepared. So actually, you can either say, let's see this week's small crises as practice for the big ones that will come. Or you could say, well, I'm going to bury my head in the sand. Isn't it much better to say, Lord, there's going to be easy weeks, there's going to be tough weeks, but I will wait upon the Lord, ask him to renew my strength. Let's do that. So as we sing these words, let's make it a prayer.